Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 79th and Hallis. I had already started to record about 5 minutes of this before my internet turned into Matt Nagy's internet. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, for those who watched this morning's press conference, that boy was on a Neo Geo. His internet was looking awful. Also, you know, regardless of how you feel about Matt Nagy, he was tested positive for COVID-19, which is why everything was virtual for him. So pray for him. You know, he said he's feeling okay. You know, it's a little minor outbreak, which is why Hallis Hall is going to be closed the next day. But, you know, pray for him. Make sure he gets through it, you know, asymptomatic. And, you know, him and his family, you know, he has a wife and kids. So you want to make sure he's good. Praying for Matt Nagy. With that being said, the Bears lost. Same week as last week. Same thing as last week, niggas. Another loss. Except this time it comes with a little bit more added. You know, it's like it's
frustrating, man.
It's frustrating. Scott called me yesterday, and Scott was having a good old time. I was not. I was infuriated, and he called me, and I hung up on him. And I don't usually get mad over sports, like, bro. I've seen the Blackhawks lose to the Kings in Game 7. Cried my eyes out. 15 minutes later, I was like, you know, what can I do?
I didn't know you cried on again. It's kind of funny.
Oh, I cried. I was.
It's kind of funny.
Because I was so, and watching them now just upsets me. I'm like, what are you doing? Niggas can't hit a goal to get it to save their lives. But
it's a mess.
But I cry when it happens. But 15 minutes later, I said, you know what, man? I've also seen them win. And of course, they ended up doing. Did they win the next year or the year after?
No, they won the next year.
The next year. So,
which,
you know,
made me, that's why it made me angry, because we had three-peated with whatever.
Exactly. You know, that was the worst part about it. But
and we'd have kicked the Rangers' ass. But
absolutely. And so, we've been through a Super Bowl loss. There has been nothing more heartbreaking sports related to me than that Super Bowl loss. Me and Scott remember it vividly. I was not all right for a long time, and I'm talking years.
I still don't like that Devin has to kick. I know a lot of people love it. They revere it. I don't like it because I know what happened in that game.
Yeah,
I can't watch it.
it's like when you watch it, if it seems nice, but it's like when you're watching a horror film. Like, oh man, look at the protagonist. They got a great, you know, great little setup in the house. They got a family. You're like, he's gonna mark all of them. Thinking of the villain, gonna mark all of them. So it's heartbreaking. But I say that to say, Bears fans, shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
You got Dan Orlovsky, who was just bailing on Justin most of the offseason, saying, have you watched the game film? You know what I'm saying? Shut up. Don't fall into the trap of making that lazy boomer size and take. And I don't know boomer size, and I don't know what the type of man he is, but it was a take. And it was a lazy, and it was a lazy take that white people use on black quarterbacks. When it comes to playing wide receiver, running back, defensive line, linebacker, of course, oh yeah, great athlete. Comes to playing quarterback, it's can they deal with the defense? You know, can they read the defense? Maybe the game is not processing fast enough. Meanwhile, their white counterparts who are as equally playing as bad, it's, well, you know, the kids got everything to succeed. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about literally every other starting rookie quarterback in the league. Zach Wilson is dog shit, but somehow it's, oh, well, you know, he'll be all right. Now, bear in mind, I do believe Zach Wilson will end up being okay. But at the same time, he's been
just pointing out the differences between the two.
We just point out the difference.
And Trevor Lawrence has been hot ass, and they've been letting him slide with a lot of shit. They act like Mac Jones is the greatest dude ever just because he's fucking game manager. Like,
he has like nine touchdowns. And
it's like the Boogie Cousins. I hope y'all see what's going on right here. I hope y'all understand. I hope y'all see what's going on.
You know, it's a lazy tech, and this is. I said, people are like, oh man, not cool, man. Boomer wasn't being racist. I never said Boomer was racist. I just said that's a racist take. And why is it a racist take? Because it's been used against black men specifically. And the same thing about Lamar Jackson. Lamar should probably play receiver. For what reason should he play receiver? Think about that. Of course, Scott hates black QBs, but Scott hates that for the fact that, unfortunately, black QBs have not been given the access and the room to create errors. Mr. Biscay, 3 years of being trash. Much as I like Mitch as a person, he spent 3 years being trash, and everybody, including myself, gave him, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Oh, he'll be okay. I'm still rocking with Mitch. He's not a good starting quarterback. And so after five starts, your first thing is, oh, man, I don't know if the kid knows the game. It's like, but what about Trevor Lawrence when he's throwing three picks a game? Mac Jones was throwing for 2 yards and letting his receivers go up the field.
And I think it's also like, even if you look, like Justin's not having time to even get these shits up. Like, you know how we talk about the offensive line wasn't that bad? You know, offensive line is not bad against mediocre defensive lines. As we've seen against Tampa and as we've seen against Cleveland, is that when it's a good defensive line, this offensive line gets fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And let's also, at the end of the day, I know the Bears play like shit. This is not me taking any blame off the Bears. But at the end of the fucking day, these are the world fucking champions, bro. This defense had Patrick Mahomes looking crazy. Patrick Mahomes didn't score a touchdown on these niggas. So I think we got to keep that into perspective also. They're really fucking good. And on top of that, this is the greatest football player of all time who we embarrassed last year, and I told you niggas he was not gonna forget about that. Four downs. How many touchdowns did he have?
Four.
Now he could have been petty and threw the four up and decided instead he decided to wait 24 hours and play the Chicago National Anthem on his W video.
First of all, that's the BD National Anthem. Ain't got nothing to do with real niggas. That is the BD National Anthem.
For people who don't know, it is Love Sosa.
Love Sosa by Chief Sosa. I you know what? Tom's Brady, my favorite football player ever.
Yeah.
So
I was mad, but I wasn't too mad. Like, I was mad, but I was like, fuck you. Ha ha ha.
What are you gonna do?
Aaron Rodgers burned my soul. You know what's funny? Tom always kicks our ass too. Like, outside of last year, every game he played against him is he beat our ass. Remember 2010, we won a division. They dropped 40 on us in the snow.
Oh, yeah. Made them look silly.
Yeah.
That's right. I completely forgot about that.
And this is the most points this Bears defense has given up. I don't know if you remember this game. I remember this game. Sunday Night Football, 2013, the game before 4th and 8, where we could have won a division against Philly and not even got to that. We lost like 56-13 or some shit.
Yeah.
It's the most points the defense has given up. And Khalil couldn't do anything. I'm not even mad at Khalil. Akeem didn't play. Quinn didn't play. And they were like, put four niggas on him. Like, what you want him to do?
Yeah. Okay. Here is my overall take on the entire situation. It is, yes, this was a, you know, not the greatest way you want to see your team go down. But Bears have to understand circumstance.
Yeah.
Bears have to understand circumstance, situations, and you also have to understand progress. And now, the way I say circumstance is you're playing the defending champs. You're playing the team, as Scott said, it made Pat Mahomes look silly. You know, it may have broken him. I don't know.
They might have cracked the code.
You know, they may have got the Da Vinci code on my man because he's looking stupid against the Titans.
I think Damian said it. Ever since the Buccaneers beat the ass, ain't no ad the rest of the league. Like, oh, they kind of pussy.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of them are like, all right, okay. If we send too many defenders, he's just gonna find where crackers. You know, we're gonna sit back in coverage and let's see you work. Let's see you work if you can just sit back in coverage against it. We're talking about the Titans. The Titans have who Michael Downing is one of the greatest running backs of all time, and Derrick Henry. But Tannehill ain't no like just he ain't gonna just come up and just start setting defenses. Man,
Derrick Henry threw a touchdown,
and I mean, I'm not talking about just a wide open touchdown. He floated it over the defense. Yeah. But that's what happens when you spend so much money on one side of the ball. Now bear in mind, it's not saying that Pat Mahomes isn't, you know, he's still a young stud, probably the best quarterback in the league outside of Tom Brady. But they spent a lot of money on offense.
We're getting set on 2 minute drill this week.
Hear me out, They spent a lot of money on offense. It will show you that will come, and this is why circumstance. In situations, there are more than one side of the ball. There are three sides to the ball. Three. Special teams, offense, defense. You can't put your eggs in one basket and just expect it to go crazy. It's like yesterday. Who was it? Sunday Night Football. It was
I didn't see a second of that game.
It was completely reined in. It was the 49ers and the Colts. And when you couldn't do, there was no passing. Coaches were still trying to pass during that terrible, terrible weather. But running is what they needed to focus on. They have a good running back in Taylor for the Colts, and that's how you work. And so I say that to say this, when it comes to the Bears, you have to understand the situation. Justin ain't getting much help from his skill players, unfortunately. Justin ain't getting much help from his coaches who are failing to develop.
Oh, did you hear what the coaches told him in the headset? There was 12 men on the field, and that's when one of them interceptions happened?
Yeah, he knew it was once again, and about Justin Fields, if you watched him since, I can't really say Georgia because he didn't get that much time, but since Ohio State, you understand he does not like to put the ball in a dangerous territory. If he sees a receiver, and let's say he's triple covered, but he knows he can put it in a spot that only the receiver can get it, or it's just going to go out of bounds and be an incompletion.
Turnover. He's not a turnover. Now, he does need to get better on these fumbles.
He does not hold the ball strongly.
I feel like he's had a fumble every week, and it's been since preseason.
He does not hold the ball well. I'm not even going to stunt. I'm not going to say there's nothing that I can say to give any whatchamacallit. Give him an excuse. Now, I will say two of them, it's a combination of things because you have your blind side, which should hold up longer than a second and a half, and it didn't. And so the ball was swatted pretty well. But just to let you know, any quarterback in the National Football League, if they come off the edge blind, it's going to be a strip sack. That's one of the biggest things. On top of that, defensive ends, if they know they're on that edge and they can't necessarily get their hole all around you, they're just going to look to swat the ball out your hand. They literally go around the edge and just look to swat it. So,
if you saw my face a second ago, that's because the new Steph Curry, Lonzo Ball, just hit another three. Anyway, the only saving grace in the city of Chicago right now, your Chicago Bulls.
But I say that to say that Chicago Bears fans, come on now.
Look Talk at you. To them. We gotta have a come to Jesus moment because it's ridiculous. Bro.
For those who are not looking at it with good old boy's eyes and just trying to troll and say, because there was somebody like on 760 to score. I don't know these people personally, and I don't know what they are. And I don't know if he was just trolling. He was like, have we, done the fact that Justin may just be trash? And then he put like a meme to saying, oh, he got caught people in his web of a troll or whatever. And people were in the comments
what was his name?
I don't know. You think he does a Danny Perkins show or some shit like that? I don't know. I don't know these people. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how they feel in real life. I can say there are a lot of media in Chicago who are not really fans. It's a job for them. Yeah. So since it's a job for them, it's easy for them to, say things off rip like that and not really care. Whereas me, who actually want to see the team succeed, I'm not just going to say something crazy. I think Dave Kaplan has a good balance of he's a fan of the team. Yeah. He also covers the team. Yeah. And so he can give you honest opinion.
But Cap keeps the G a great amount of time. Even with his Cubs, he keeps it all the way G. He's like, that is a disgrace, and they need to be escorted off the field immediately.
And so that's what I'm saying. A lot of media, not really local. Most of the media I know, it's not for them. Like, J.J. Stankovic, even though he's with the Colts, he's a group of Bears fan. But for him covering the Colts, he won't be as attached as the average fan. They lose, it's going to be like, well, I'm going home. It's not a big deal. For us, we're not ashamed to tell you, man, we grew up Bears fans our whole lives. You know what I'm saying? We cover them locally, but we still care. And yesterday was that time where I felt just so frustrated as the fan in me. The reporter in me was just to the side. The fan in me. And I said, bro, I've been watching him since I was a shorty. We used to get up early to prepare ourselves for the game. Sometimes we'd ask for pizza. From our folks, like, we really want to watch this game. We really just want to – we knew all football was on. But first and foremost, it was the Bears. There was no red zone then, or at least we could –
no red zone back in 02 and 03. You had to pick a game, nigga.
You know what I'm saying? You had to pick one of two games, nigga, and you'll see highlights throughout the day. And
you going to go check out Chris Berman and Tom Jackson?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so we ain't – and Scott's rocking his Bears hat. I'm rocking a Justin Fields jersey to say, we not new to this. We true to this. And so, with that being said, the Chicago Bears they're literally a, it's like, what are those things?
They're a mom and pop shop.
They're a mom and pop shop, but that's not what I'm thinking about. You know what a time capsule? A time capsule is you put things, you put certain things.
They're a fucking time capsule.
The Bears are a time capsule.
They're 80s time capsule.
Exactly. The Bears have been preserved in this cryogenic chamber of the 1980s.
Throw your Wonder Years lunchbox in there.
They've been preserved in this 1980s time capsule, and it's never changed since then. They put it, they buried it right in under Hallis Hall, and they haven't picked it up and said, oh man, this is ancient. Let's do something else. It has been the same thing for the longest time. The priority has been get a running back, get a defense. Everything else will follow. Get a quarterback that's serviceable. Now, for the first time in ever, you have a set of running backs who are good. You have a defense that
it's on the declining side, but it's enough for you to win.
It's enough for you to even rebuild off of it and retool off of it. There's still a core there. And you have one of the greatest college quarterbacks in Ohio State history and one of the best quarterbacks that came out that draft, arguably number two.
I like how Tom Brady was talking about Ohio State quarterbacks like he's not the only Michigan quarterback to ever be fucking good.
And yeah, they're accounted for.
Him and Brian Greasy was okay, nigga. But
the funny thing is college quarterbacks in the NFL is random. There is no one division that produces.
Like, is there a school? Is there a school that just produces hella quarterbacks? No.
Justin Herbert came from Oregon. There are no good quarterbacks in the NFL from Oregon. Yeah. Marcus Mariota is a backup now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Heisman winner. I thought he was going to be great in the NFL.
You know any great quarterbacks from Texas Tech before Patrick Mahomes?
No. The only person I knew from Texas Tech before him was the nigga who Richard Sherman snatched his chain from. Marcus Crabtree.
I
knew from Texas Tech. I don't know anybody else from Texas Tech. You know what I'm saying? In the NFL, when it comes to producing quarterbacks, there is no one school. There are schools for producing linebackers. Linebackers, of course. There's Penn State. Penn State can produce linebackers and corners. Iowa can produce tight ends for some odd reason. But they are ready for producing quarterbacks. It's really random because, you know, people say this is what happens when you don't face real competition in college. None of them face real competition in college.
They're all kids, man.
None of them face real competition. Why do you think the teams who are in the college football playoff have one loss? They smoked everybody else. Look at Alabama's schedule. Who does Bama play? No one. Who does Ohio State play? No one. It will be one tough game in the division. Every couple of years, like Alabama this year, they'll lose to a random unranked team. But most of the time, they're going to sweep through the competition. That's just what happens with these big schools. Now, of course, there is a drive to make these teams play against each other, but that's besides the point. Scott, are you watching the Bulls game?
Of course I am.
Is that why your eyes are going down? Are you talking?
No, I'm also because you keep talking. I'm waiting to jump in.
So, Scott was rubbing his arm earlier. He got that booster shot, so I know.
Yeah, we're booster boys over here.
Booster gang. And so I know this nigga, this arm is feeling, because my arm was feeling it.
It doesn't feel as bad. It was hurting when we started recording, but I took some medicine, and it feels back to normal right now. You know, I didn't get any symptoms from the first two shots, so hopefully it stays the same with this
second shot, nigga.
I'm going to be feeling like Thanos tomorrow because I had my flu shot over the weekend, too, so. But basically, what I want to say, this is who you are, Bears fans. This is who you are, and it's the reality. And I know a lot of Bears fans are frustrated. And I got a take, not even a take. It's reality. That a lot of Bears fans ain't gonna like. We sit up here, we blame Matt Nagy, blame Bill Lazor, and yes, they should get a lot of fucking blame. But have you ever thought about this little tidbit, which goes back to the bigger problem with this team? A lot of these niggas on offense just ain't good. We just don't have a lot of good players. Let's just keep it a buck. The offensive line is like Ryan Pace put this together by going to the fucking pawn shop. The entire offensive line is getting paid $12 million. That's fucking ridiculous. Cole Kmet, I still don't like that. I don't see what people see in this dude. And you see some of them passes he dropped yesterday? Like, I feel like we do this every fucking week with him. I love Darnell Mooney. I think Darnell Mooney's great. But on the championship team, he's number three.
Yeah.
Let's keep it a buck.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson is not who we thought he was. I think he's a solid wide receiver. I don't think he's top 10.
No.
I forgot what reporter that was, but he tweeted, you know, get Allen Robinson more receptions or whatever. And everybody, all Bears fans, was like, nigga, tell him to get open. Like, to the fact he deleted the tweet. So it's like, he getting locked up by Jules Osco's employee. Like, what are we doing here? Like, so maybe the problem here is just maybe it's just not enough game changing talent on this team. And whose problem is that? The general manager, who's been, in my opinion, worse at his job than Matt Nagy. I've never seen a dude be here. He's in his eighth season now.
Mm-hmm.
Championship winning GMs don't be there that long.
No.
Let's keep it real. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem.
And truly, coaches in NFL and GMs, they be out quick.
They be in and out.
Doug Peterson is not the head coach of the Eagles, and he won a championship not too long ago. So,
yeah.
I mean, even in college, Ed Oger, Coach O of the LSU, nigga just won a national title a couple of years back. He's gone.
He's gone. So it's like, it's the internal mess. It's not just
the McCaskies are a suspect.
Yeah, and it has to get to what Bears fans have to hope is what Bulls fans and White Sox were hoping for years and finally happened. Jay Reinsdorf is a prideful man. Like, we can sit up here as White Sox fans be and say what we want to say about the Cubs winning championship. If the Cubs didn't win a championship, the White Sox would not be in the position they are right now. Jay Reinsdorf said it himself. He felt embarrassed to see that Cubs parade and his team was mired in mediocrity. That was the exact quote that Rick Hahn said. He woke up and decided, we'll do the full rebuild. And the rebuild should have happened in 2010. Yeah. Look at the Bulls. He said, you know what? I'm a backup. And the Bulls, and that's what the Bears are. The Bears are Bulls territory right now.
Yeah.
And these are both story franchises. Yeah. Like, literally, and I think Olin said this on the post game. George Halas is the founder. He started the NFL. He didn't just start the Bears. He started the NFL. That's what we named this.
Which is why I don't care that Lombardi won the first Super Bowl the once ever. The title should have been named after Halas.
It should be like the NFC trophy should be the Lombardi trophy. Yeah. And the championship, of course, with Bears fans, people say that, but whatever. That should be named. So he's the founder of not just the Bears, but the league. And the Bulls were a charter franchise. Like, when you had DeMar DeRozan, all of a sudden, DeMar said he got chills his first home game because he's heard that intro as a kid. And now he's finally able to come out. So Jerry was like, look, All-Star Weekend was the greatest thing that ever happened to us. When Zach was on First Take and the whole crowd was chanting fire guard packs to the fact that Molly and Steven, they had to tell him, like, yo, let's be respectful. And that got them embarrassed. And they said, bro, the Bulls spent $200 million last offseason. When have you ever seen these niggas spend that much?
Never.
In the offseason? Ever. Never. So you got to hope that I always hear, oh, Virginia McCaskey, she watches every game. You know she's fed up. She ain't acting like somebody fed up.
It don't seem like it.
I don't give a damn if you my son. If you're running a team, I'm taking the family aspect out of it. Like, look, I love you. You're my son. You came from my balls. But you're not doing a good job.
Yeah.
I'm firing you as an executive, not as my son.
Yeah.
Somebody got to do it. And I'm not even saying Ted needs to go. Put this nigga in charge of the stadium. He's a good businessman. Put him in charge of the stadium. The Bears are rolling in money, and they stink. Imagine the money you can make if we won. Like, that's the whole thing that always kills me about. They don't care if they win, they make money. Imagine the money you make if you win. So you got to hope at the end of the season. I know everybody's like, fire Matt Nagy now. I'm keeping a buck. Firing Matt Nagy right now really doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Really doesn't do anything. Might as well let Nagy go the rest of the season. And I really think Justin's going to have it. You got to give this kid the keys to the kingdom. Like, I feel like Justin's going to go in that front office. Like, you saw what he said in the press conference. And one thing I loved about this, too, this is why I'm so confident in this kid. And it's probably, it's little shit like that I probably shouldn't care about. He came to the podium in his gear like, look, I'm not used to losing. Yeah. He kind of got a little bit of his, I'm Kevin Durant. Like, nigga, do you know who the fuck I am? I'm not used to this shit.
Yeah.
I'm not used to this shit. So he's got to go in the front office like, look, y'all need to get me some better pieces in here. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's where we got to hope that happens. And I'm not saying you got to root against the team, but y'all got to really hope this team doesn't make the playoffs. And there's a good chance. I don't know if y'all looked at the standings. Look at the teams we're going to be chasing for them 6 or 7 spots. A lot of them ain't better than us or they're in the same tier as us. And the schedule lightens up. Look at our next 4 games. We got a really good shot of going 3-1 in our next 4. The Niners are 2-4. They're vulnerable. Pittsburgh stinks. We can fucking put Ben on his ass.
Yeah.
Probably get worked, but we're probably gonna get worked by Baltimore. And then you got Detroit for Thanksgiving. I see 3 possible wins right there. So you gotta hope. Because I think there's only 2 things that's gonna save Matt Nagy's job. Either the offense gets completely better, which I don't see happening at all, or they make the playoffs. Even if they like miss it by a game, I think there's a chance that they let him play out the last year of his contract, which would be fucking terrible. So y'all got to, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a lot. We got 10 more games left. 10 more games left, and I don't think we have an answer to the Matt Nagy thing yet. And that's kind of terrifying as a Bears fan.
Here's my several takes about Justin Fields and just how he approaches the game. One, there are people like, oh, his body language is why isn't he on the sideline? Here's the issue I have with body language and the supposed ways people present themselves body language that must necessitate that they feel A, B, or C. I've been blown out before in sports in high school. I've been on the sideline laughing. I didn't mean I didn't care about the game. The game was over. What am I supposed to do? People who have never played sports at any level, not everybody, but people who have never played sports at any level somehow think that when a game goes bad, you need to feel bad. Yeah. That's the worst thing you can feel.
And these dudes is millionaires too. Let's not forget that. Like, at the end of the day, they're going to be fine.
This is a job.
We're upset because we got to go to our 9 to 5 in the morning. Exactly. These niggas are going to wake up downtown.
I have to wake up, look at my Bank America account and say, I can't
do too much DoorDash this week.
You know what I'm saying? You know, he's a millionaire. He's like, you know, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to get back to work. It is a job for them, an insanely high paying job. They will be fine. His body language is, he's a stoic man. That's just what he is. Yeah, I don't know where it comes from, but he's stoic.
You would know better. You said he's been like that since.
He ain't celebrated Ohio State. I've seen him pump his fist once.
Yeah, exactly.
After he scored a touchdown, he pointed to the sky, walked away. Yeah. He thanked God and said, all right, I'm out. He didn't celebrate. That touchdown he had against Clemson in their second meeting, his final year at Ohio State, I mean, beautiful. Dime to Olave. He didn't celebrate. He pointed the sky, ran to the end zone, dapped up Olave, and kept moving. He's just not expressive in that way.
Are you with me? Like, I think what he said after the game was good. Like, maybe I'm, you know, looking for little shit to be happy about.
It's like I tweeted. You know, I try our best to not make our page and our brand a homer brand. I don't want to be the Hawk Harrelson of Chicago Bears. I don't think we're that bad even remotely. But I like what my homies at the Chicago Audible say. Shout out to Nick and them when they say, yeah, we're biased, but we'll admit it.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And it's the same with us. Yeah, I'm biased. I'm a Bears fan. I've always been one. But I'm covering the team now in my professional manner. I have to take things back. And so with that being said, what did I see from Justin Fields? That's a kid who's in, you know, uncharted territory. It is uncharted for the fact that he's lost 2 in a row and that just don't really happen to him. He's lost before. He's lost in big moments. He's made mistakes in big moments. He's made great plays in big moments. He's been through that, but he hasn't been to the fact that this is the NFL and you're going to lose. You know what I'm saying? That's why I have a lot of problem with a lot of Alabama players. Nigga, you steamroll everybody. You get to the NFL and ain't no steamrolling. You're going to lose the majority of the time. Trent Richardson, Alabama, looked like one of the greatest running backs I've ever seen. Came to the league and thought I was going to run over these men who are bigger than me and faster than me. No. Put you on your backside. So with Justin Fields, when I heard his press conference to go back on what I said, I don't want to be a homer. When I saw him speak, I just thought about a young man who was just determined. He's like, he said, I don't care how many picks I throw, I'm going to keep throwing it. I don't want the kid to be down and say, I remember when Rex Grossman was on like an MVP tear, then he got went against the Dolphins. And he was like,
I wasn't the Dolphins. It was the Cardinals brought them niggas, that nigga down the size.
Oh, that, no, I was talking about the loss. But I thought not the game that came back. I'm talking about the loss.
Yeah, but that was the first loss, but Rex Grossman came down the earth.
But see, at the end of that game, he was like, I threw a lot of picks, but we won. So I woke on him later. At the end of the Dolphins game, he just looked heartbroken. Like he just lost his dog. I wouldn't want to see that in a press conference if I was the head coach. Not to say you can control people's emotions, and I'm not going to get on someone for feeling sad or feeling sorry, but when it comes to playing sports, you can't get your head down. You just got to focus on. And this is why Kobe Bryant is like is my favorite basketball player of all time. Because where we get the famous job's not done.
Job's not done. This is probably my Kobe standing here, but I'm kind of mad that people just figured out after he died. Like I was like, I remember that being cool when it happened.
Yeah,
like nobody peeped that. I remember when it happened. I was like, because I remember when they tipped off, and Dwight was trying to give him the laugh. He's like, "Come on, Kobe, laugh." Kobe looked at this nigga like he's focused. He said, "I'm not losing another final without Shaq."
Remember, Mike Brown was coaching his infamous picture. Kobe like.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's just
kind of. I say that Justin Fields is an extreme competitor, just like anybody else. In Kobe Bryant press conferences, I've seen him just be pissed or be focused on the next thing. I've never seen him saying it's just you know, people like the Tim Tebow press conference after he lost
and I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Was it Tennessee? I can't remember, but they got embarrassed. They won a national championship that year. They got embarrassed, and he was like, "You're never going to see a person fight as hard for this team who's going to fight as hard for fight as hard again." I think he said, "We're never going to lose again," or something like that. Then he walked off. That's great for quotes, but if I was a coach, I'm like, "Nigga, why'd you just do that?"
Have you ever seen Tom Brady do that?
No.
Have you ever seen Michael Jordan don't do that? My favorite Michael Jordan quote is, you know, I don't make promises. I don't even promise my wife.
We're going to win on Monday.
But we're going to win on Sunday.
You know what I'm saying? It's win on Monday.
Win on Monday, my bad.
Yeah, I remember that. Win one. Yeah. But
so it's like, that's just how he stole it.
If you're not a good old boy just trying to create a narrative and you're actually concerned about his body language, think to yourself for a second. If, you know, ask yourself or look around. If I perform poorly at something, let's say I ask a stupid question in Hollis Hall. You know, I've made stupid questions. I think I asked a little Herbert, what aspects of your game do you want to work on? Oh, it's quite a few. I never followed up on it. I was like, that was a stupid question. I should ask what aspects? What I'm going to do? I'm going to say, oh, God, this is just terrible. No, I'm going to keep asking. So how more is important for a person who gets paid millions as an athlete to focus on the next situation? When Justin Fields said what he said in that press conference, I wanted to run through a brick wall. You know what I'm saying? And that's how Bears fans should. You don't have to say I'm still with Justin. There's seven games in the first year. Five starts.
Shut up.
And I, you know, troll Bears fans, I'll block you off, Sarah Anthony Hollis. I'm not here for you. I want fans who want to have an honest discussion. And I like when folks say they're concerned or I made a mistake, I owned up to it because I want to have a good dialogue. But I'm not there to say, oh, he's trash. This is what happens. Like, no. Shut up. Watch the game. Watch more football, more importantly. A good number of you all watch the game but don't know football like you should. Watch the game of football.
Well, I don't watch sports.
Even Bears fans, I realize a lot of them watch the Bears and call it a day.
Yeah.
Not many of them love the game of football and watch it. Because if you've watched, like, you think Aaron Rodgers, like, I heard people say, well, Aaron Rodgers, rookie year. I was like, the rookie year, what he said? The second year, what he said?
The third year, what he said?
Which year are you talking about? Can't be that, because there was no rookie year Aaron Rodgers playing. It was Pat Mahomes' rookie year. The rookie year, what he said? I said, every single quarterback has a come-to-Jesus moment. Aaron Rodgers had come-to-Jesus moments in his career. He didn't start off throwing 40 touchdowns a year.
No.
Started off good, but he didn't start off throwing 40 touchdowns a year. It took him about 3 years until you were like, And I started to say, hold up.
Right, exactly. Hold it took up. 3 years before he put the fear of God in you.
Exactly. And Pat Mahomes put the fear guy early. Now you like, is he broken?
Right. I might be kind of pussy.
Is he broken? You know what I'm saying? Peyton Manning was awful his first year. I mean, he had thrown two touchdowns and 14 picks at one point in time.
Ridiculous.
It was bad. And I mean,
imagine
it was,
Twitter was around.
It wasn't though all came off the hands. No, it was just, what are you doing? They stuck with him. And who is he? One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like we said before with Tom Brady, he didn't become Tom Brady until 4 or 5 years later. Let me not tell Randy Moss got there.
It was 07, yeah, when Moss got there. And it's like, I think this is going to sound like an old head tape, but it goes to the social media microwave era. Everybody wants results now. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way we judge young athletes in general is fucking terrible. You know what I'm saying? Like, let them fucking grow, bro. Let them grow. If you'd have told me 4 years ago that Zach LaVine would have this offensive skill set, I'm like, you fucking crazy. All he is a fucking dunker.
Yeah.
Not gonna look at him. He can shoot from anywhere. He out here shooting at Stephen Dame range. It's called growth. You get better at your craft. Huh? And that's what you have to like. And you know what annoys me more than anything? When Justin does become the quarterback we expect him to become, niggas gonna act like they never was talking shit.
Yeah.
And that's what's gonna be. And I'm gonna use, I know some of our fans, listeners, are gonna say we're using the race car, but fuck it. I'm gonna say it anyway. He's a black quarterback, so y'all view him differently. Y'all gave Mitch every fucking excuse in the book. I've never seen nothing like it. I've never seen that. Y'all gave this nigga every excuse in the book. Justin can't do shit. And let's be very clear. Even when Justin becomes MVP or whatever, all it's going to take is one fuck up before they turn on him. That's just how it is. That's just how the fuck it is. Let Lamar Jackson do some bullshit tomorrow. We'll see how much them white folks in Baltimore love him. That's real shit. They love them white folks. Love Michael Vick. Loved them. That's all I'm saying.
Now he's, why is this murder on TV?
Yeah. And he did the time. The nigga did, and even that, let's just say you feel like he should have did the time. Whatever. I got an opinion on that, but we're not gonna get on that today. He did his fucking time. He did more than enough time. He did like 2 fucking 3 years in jail. Shut the fuck up. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be a long-term thing here. When you got some of the fans who, just keep real, they don't like black people. They're going to do some shit like that. And we're seeing it right now.
It's like when you look, you think about Jackie Robinson and how he integrated, or was the first black person. He didn't integrate, did he? He was the first black person to play in MLB.
Yeah, I think Roberto Clemente was before him. I could be wrong. But I think it was Roberto Clemente first.
It's like, how can white folks during that time hate black folks but cheer him when he's hitting a home run?
They love when he's entertaining, not when, you know, not when he wants
they
to
love
actually,
when this nigga dance.
Yeah, you know, not you know when saying? I want to have shit like, yo, can I take a piss without getting shot?
Not when I want to be my own self. You know what I'm saying? And once again, to our listeners, as we've, you know, as we said, the shoe don't fit, don't wear it.
Yeah.
If they ain't got nothing to chew, don't pay attention to it. But that, bro, you have to understand, a part of this fan base is very racist. Yeah. It's with a part of any fan base, very racist. And a lot of these racist undertones, a lot of these cold phrases, a lot of that ism, a lot of that, that didn't sound too good. It comes up in that, in their analysts, their analysts of the game.
What's Lorenz Tate's brother? It's Lorenz Tate and the other one. I forgot the other one, but the other one.
It's isms. It's all. He said,
he said, we got all the isms up in there. Yeah, that's exactly what this is.
And so it's like what Boomer Esiason. I didn't say the man was a racist. I don't know the man.
It had racist undertones.
But it was a racist undertone. And why did I, you know, I don't know why Bill Cowher reacted the way he did.
Because Bill Cowher knew it was some bullshit.
But with Bill Cowher's immediate reaction, like, you know, they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. It's like, huh? Like, what are you watching? It's funny because, and this is why I realize fans are idiots and no player should pay attention to fans. No player should pay attention to what there are rare cases where fans love players and will stick through it. Some people booed Tom Brady when he came back. How dare you? How dare you in Foxborough boo? I don't care if he plays for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, he gave you six championships.
He gave you six championships. When he scores a touchdown, you should be kneeling.
What do people think about the Patriots before Tom Brady got there? Niggas didn't think about the Patriots.
They were dumpster.
Yeah.
What did the Bears do to the Patriots Super Bowl in 85? Beat the brakes off of them.
They ass.
And that wasn't the only Super Bowl they went to.
Yeah, the Packers kicked their ass in 96 too.
NFC North stomped down on the freaking, I don't think, were they in the NFC North yet, the Packers?
Nigga, they've always been in the, it
was NFC
Central.
Was it called the North, though? It was called the Central.
Yeah, it was only became the North like in 02.
It reminds me of the NFC North Division Champs. Bad news? Who is that?
Mike Sherman.
There is none.
Nobody remembers that NFL Films deep cut.
Man, deep cut. And this is how I know you niggas don't watch the game like me and my brother do.
Nigga, we finna watch Geno Smith versus fucking Jameis Winston in clear ESPN HD.
Bro, we're going to watch, bro, like, come on now. We love the game. And that's why I realize some fans, even for college football, you're fans of that team. But you're not necessarily fans of the game. Me and my brother are fans of the game. We're fans of sports. I'm talking about the Blackhawks. I still watch them.
Nigga, I'm looking forward to watching.
I watch them and go, what are y'all doing?
Nigga, I'm looking forward to watching Paul George versus Dame Lillard tonight. I love sports. You know what I'm
saying? We love sports. This is what we love, man. And so I say that to say, for the Bears fans who are fans of the game, I can understand being afraid because there is a lot of, I hate to say PTSD, because as someone who deals with generalized anxiety,
it's not the best word to use.
It's inconsiderate to those of us who deals with actual mental health issues, generalizing anxiety for myself. But unfortunately, Bears PTSD just sounds the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
You know, or Bears stress, Bears that fear, Bears paranoia.
I think it's Chicago sports too, because you got a lot of White Sox fans who are already mad about shit that Rick Hahn ain't done yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait to spring training, then get mad at
him. He's definitely not going to get a second baseman. I'm like, relax.
We said that trade deadline. I said that trade deadline. I was like, I have no faith he's going to do what needs to be done. Now, whether or not them trades worked or not, it's a different discussion.
No, they didn't. I like the para.
Yeah, but he still, if you tell, you still do that trade.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, oh, you got to do this. He did his part. Now, the players still got to play. So now it's like, I give him the benefit of doubt that he'll spend money this offseason.
Yeah.
If he don't, get mad.
But you have to relax. And so The one thing I would say with Ryan Pace and with Matt Nagy, which made me so frustrated, I was like, this is an ancient offense. This is an ancient team. Nothing has changed for them. They do not understand the vertical passing game. Matt Nagy doesn't understand the vertical passing game. I am intrigued to see this week, of course, if you all paid attention to the press conference. Matt Nagy said that special teams coordinator Tabor is going to be facilitating basically Matt Nagy's role while he's gone. Which makes sense, I guess. My first thought was
he's the longest tenured Bears coach.
Yeah. In addition to that, Bill Lazor is your play caller, and so you probably want Bill Lazor up in there focusing on your play calling. You don't want to then give it to an assistant, your offensive quality control coach. No, you probably want him still focusing on that offense. And Tabor is the longest tenured Bears, so you want him there. And Sean Desai is in his first year as a coordinator. No way you're gonna overstep Tabor or Bill Lazor, who's been in the league longer, and say, here, take on the reins. I'm intrigued to know what Matt Nagy's interaction with his players will be this week, you know, because it will have to be all.
I'm going to be like Adrian Broner. Same thing.
I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I'm not expecting to be no breakout, nothing crazy like that. But I'm going to be like, they were talking about you losing the locker room. I don't know if he's lost the locker room. I haven't had
I'm getting tired of people saying that. We have seen no proof of these players disliking
on top of that, it's just losing the locker room. Just
literally seen no proof of it.
Losing locker room is a rare situation, man, because players will like these coaches personally and will go to war with them. You know,
and
what
like
I'm saying?
You said, I think Matt Nagy is a good dude. Yeah. He's probably a cool dude, kicking, having a beer with. That being said, the nigga can't coach. No. It just is what it is. Like, the only time I've seen an actual player mutiny was Trestman.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, a rare. They did not want that nigga there.
That was not only just with Trestman, the players were beefing with each other. Martellus Bennett wanted to whoop Brandon Marshall. Who forget that rant when Brandon Marshall drove all the way out in the suburb when ESPN 1000 was on location just to air this nigga Jay Cutler out on the radio? Those were dark. Like, so we talking about this shit. There's still a light. And you know what that light is? It's number one under center, Justin Fields. I don't give a shit what happens to the rest of this roster. It's about him.
Yeah.
He's going to be the only nigga that we know is going to be here at least for the next decade. Yeah. That is what it's about. Yeah. I don't care. That was mutiny, my nigga. That was Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall used to be like this, and they stopped fucking with each other after that.
That was bad. So, with that being said, moving on to other topics besides it's just rant and raving. What surprised you in this game? I knew they were gonna lose. I think we predicted like 28-7 or 28-14. I don't know what we said.
Yeah, I don't even know. Actually, we didn't have a preview pod.
That's right.
We didn't have a preview
pod. I think we talked about it after the game last week against the Packers and said they're gonna lose. Yeah. That was probably as far as
I tweeted that if they kept it between 10 and under, I'd have been impressed, which they didn't.
Well, if it had been like 38-24, I'd have said, wow, you put up 24 on the books.
I was out celebrating my birthday, and by the way, when you listen to this, it will be my 33rd birthday. So You can tweet me happy birthday or whatever. I was out celebrating my birthday with the homies, and after I got 14 nothing, I stopped paying attention. I'm gonna keep it buck. I stopped paying attention, and we kept drinking more. So I don't really know where the fuck it went off the handles like that. I just felt like an idiot because I had this fucking Bears jacket on, and I got everybody coming up to me to my man. I'm sorry about that, niggas. I don't even fucking know. I'm like, man, I'm sorry about at least you got Justin Fields. Ha 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 ha. Like. That's why I was embarrassed. Like, nigga, you see the shit I got to deal with in public? Because I'm repping you dumbass niggas. That's the shit that, like,
you gonna
I
do
was
this shit to me?
Yeah.
Denzel training day. Oh, that's the shit okay. That I was pissed okay.
off about. So it's like, it wasn't nothing about the game. It's nothing that the Bears do on the field that shocks me. There's nothing the Bears do as an organization that shocks me. What shocks me is when they start fucking winning. What'll shock me is if we get a press conference email as soon as the last game is over.
Ryan Pace availability.
No, George McCaskey availability. That'll shock me, nigga. Yeah. That'll shock me. They're like, oh shit. Like, what the fuck? That would shock me. Until that happens.
That's why when it said Nagy's availability is via Zoom, I said, hold up. You know, people were asking me why is it happening. I was like, maybe they wanted to, you know, they're partnered with the Professional Football Writers Association. I was like, I don't know if they bargained to have it on Zoom since the majority of them got left in Florida conditions of it's been raining hard all day in Chicago. It just started to come down.
I wonder if this is like worldwide. I see a lot of New York people talking about it, and you know, it don't, as Tony said, never rain in Southern California. That was a lot today. Nigga, it was raining. It just stopped raining like 30 minutes ago.
Exactly. So even my girlfriend went to Seattle with her sisters. With sisters and her nieces and her nephews. They would have a little family trip, and her flight was just delayed. She literally just got on the plane that was scheduled for 4 o'clock. And her time is 6 o'clock right now. So it just, and so I wondered, is that why the reason the Bears made it virtual? And then, you know, somebody's like, no, Mark Grody tweeted, no, that's not it. And I got to Hollis Hall like maybe 5 minutes before 11. And that's when I found out, oh, okay, I see what happened, man.
The Rome bone is running rampant.
It's COVID, which is why in my head, I'm like, nigga, shut down the facility to people for the rest of the week. It's just a smart thing to do. Of course, and last year, they would have shut the facility down. I mean, I couldn't go in there last year, but if it was the case, they would have shut the facility down last year. This year, it's like, nigga, you better get over that COVID. You better get over it, nigga, because we're going to have it live.
I think that's just really what America is right now. Like, the vaccine's here. Not only is the vaccine here, the booster's available, nigga. So it's like, either get it or, nigga, you just deal with the fuck you got to deal with. We don't care anymore. That's just basically really what it comes down to.
Basically. So, you know, looking back at the situation and looking back at the game, the only thing that shocked me, well, I can't, you know, Jalen Johnson got beat a few times for some big plays. Good defense, too.
And Mike Evans was getting on him.
Well, Mike Evans was the main culprit. And Jalen Johnson had good defense. But, man, that was just some perfectly placed passes. And there's nothing you can really do about that in that situation. Nigga just got beat. You know what I'm saying? Niggas get shot every day. And basically what I thought about that. The defense just, they had some people out, of course. But it reminded me that there are still holes within that team. There's a core that I'm cool with keeping. The rest, you should probably move on from. Roquan Smith was still good, and he was probably the only shining part about that defense last night. Everybody else was getting smoked one way or the other. You know, niggas were getting moved off the ball.
I remember seeing one clip where Khalil was on the bench. Khalil just had this look like, nigga, what the fuck are we doing? Like,
was that the one?
Like he was just, you never seen Khalil like get out of murderer mode, but he was just sitting there like, bro, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. He's like that Chris Brown clip. Can anybody tell me what the fuck is going on?
That's what he realized. We ain't them niggas no more. That's exactly what happened. He realized that this is not the same defense. As much as I like Sean Desai scheme wise, it ain't gonna matter if the personnel don't fit. You know what I'm saying? It's not gonna matter.
I think we're not there yet, but we're very close to those last 2-3 years of Urlacher and Briggs.
Yeah.
When it was getting mixed to hell.
You know what I'm saying? And so, what should I be Bears fans and folks who are already ready to move on for David Montgomery? Oh, Khalil Herbert. I'm like, Khalil Herbert has started his second game. Calm down. David Montgomery only had a couple of good games. I'm like, he had 15.
Yeah, y'all turned on Demo so nasty.
He had, and they were like, oh, it's just not good to buy a running back's contract. I was like, shut your mouth.
Both things can be true, though.
They can, but of course, I'm of the ilk of you pay money for good running backs. The issue is that because so many running backs are out there and so many running backs can catch the ball, can hit holes and have a lot more patience because in college, the competition has got faster and quicker and stronger, that you do not have to have a high draft pick for them. Whereas receivers, a lot of these receivers aren't, you know, we talk about Kevin White. Kevin White had a lot of touchdowns and stats when he was in college at West Virginia, but the man did not know how to handle an NFL defense. I think with running backs in college,
the man does not understand the game of basketball.
With the running backs in college, I think there's just a bigger pool to pick from in terms of being a good player when it comes to a running back. Wide receiver, I still think they're few and far in between. And so that's why you pay her for wide receiver. You pay a running back. I mean, you pay a wide receiver. In all offensive linemen, when it comes to offensive linemen, you pay them. That being said, when a good running back comes around, Derrick Henry, you're going to pay money for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's generational, though.
You're going to pay money for Derrick Henry. Ezekiel Elliott, who I said, yeah, I got off you last year. I said, but what happened?
Was Zeke off or they just didn't give him enough possessions last year? I'm starting to really think that. Because I don't think they utilized Zeke last year.
Also that, but now that they're back to utilizing, what is he doing? He's killing again.
Yeah.
So you pay for those type of players. I'm not saying Dave Montgomery is at that level.
He's that type of player, not. But if he is,
but not being said.
That's why they traded Jordan Howard. Because we knew he wasn't that type of back.
He wasn't that guy. Not that guy, pal. David Montgomery can block like Khalil Herbert. As much as I love him, boy can't block.
No.
Boy missed assignments several times that game. Yeah. He's just not a blocking running back. He's not. So ready to move on David Montgomery? I don't think so. Yeah. I like a running back who can block and pick up assignments. On top of that, David Montgomery is a much better pass catcher than he is. David Montgomery is just as patient and his holes more explosively than he can. Shut up.
And David Montgomery's getting better every year. Like
better every year. You saw
he already looks way better than he looked last year, and he was pretty damn good last year.
You know, that being said, I'm happy for Khalil Herbert. I think Khalil Herbert should be the number two back. You know what I'm saying? And what he does is he makes Tariq Cohen expendable. I'm gonna get his contract like nigga, go so you better find somewhere else.
Contract and injury.
You know what I'm saying? You better find somewhere else because it ain't gonna be here. But I mean, Bears fans, I'm not shocked by the stupidity of Bears fans. And it's not because I think Bears fans are just a special brand of stupid or they're just some, you know.
I do.
I have so many fans, thanks to the internet, who are fans of these other teams. I realize every fan of sports is stupid.
Most of them are stupid.
Yeah. Most of them are stupid because majority of their focus will probably be on their team, not the league around them. They won't understand the history of the game. They won't be addicted to football. I watch football whenever I can.
Bro, this might be a Hollywood comment for both of us, but this is our job.
This is our job. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Like when I'm watching the game, I'm not watching the game just because I'm a fucking Bulls fan. I'm watching because I have a fucking Bulls podcast. I need to fucking talk about this shit.
Yeah. And covering the Bears has given me a much more appreciation. I already had a 10 out of 10. I have a 12 out of 10, 20 out of 10 appreciation for the game of football. And I can sit back and say, oh, okay, I understand this. I understand that. I don't get mad when player, you know, I had, and this is when last year is when I started to realize, Mitch thinks. Hey, I realized he's talking second.
It also gives you a greater appreciation for media, too, which is why I laugh.
Let me just say this.
This is why I get mad at people when they get mad at people like,
no, shut up, nigga. You cut me off, actually.
You're right.
As I was saying, you know, with Mitch, it's not that I thought the kid was good, but I held out hope as a fan. I started covering him last year, and I'm like, this nigga's dog shit. Like, this not going to work out. So.
But I'm saying, like, gives you a greater appreciation for media, too, because it's like, you know, people get mad at Stephen A. Smith. People get mad at Max and Shannon and Skip. Y'all got to understand, as somebody who we do media, you know how fucking hard it is to put together a two-hour show every day? We do shows once a week. Stephen A. has to do a show 2 hours every day. So, yes, they're going to talk about the same shit. Yes, they're going to say shit that is hot take-ish because it's going to get people to watch. You really think Skip Bayless is stupid?
No.
Skip Bayless has been putting in the – he covered the 90s Bulls. And to be real, we wouldn't have a podcast. A lot of you niggas wouldn't have podcasts. If it wasn't for Skip Bayless, Skip Bayless invented this hot take instant access culture. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And this is a guy – he's a writer. So it's like you get a greater aspect, a greater respect for each side. You get more respect for the athlete. You get more respect for who's covering the thing. That's what you kind of like. A lot of the average fan doesn't give a fuck about that. Like an average music fan don't give a shit about record sales. They don't know about, you know, RIA and, you know, how much money you get off stream. They don't give a fuck. They just want to know when the next Drake album come out.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's the same thing goes for regular media who cover politics. You know, your first thing is, oh, man, I don't trust the media. The media is the enemy of the people. But you realize without a free press, it makes it easier for a dictatorship to arise. Sure, you'll click on CNN, you'll click on NBC, you'll click on Fox. Well, Fox is just terrible. But you'll click on NBC, CNN, and any other ABC, and you'll say, oh, man, what is this garbage? They're pushing sensationalized. You move down where you actually see the actual well-written, well-thought-out pieces by journalists, but you understand that what they do is to inform you about stuff you don't pay attention to. So yep. What do we do as journalists with the Bears? We try to inform you about something that you're probably not going to pay attention to. You're not going to open up Twitter. You're not going to go to the Bears live stream. You're probably not going to do that. You're going to sit back and look for quotes. So I'm trying to provide you quotes the same way that they did, other Bears media, in the past provided quotes for us. And I realize just most people are ill-informed about most things in life. Yep. And so I'm not shocked to see Bears fans being ill-informed again. And that's why I've learned to take the adage of, I'm not going to argue with the fool. You know, I'm not going to argue with the fool. I think it was I forgot what verse in the Bible that says when you argue with the fool, you become one of them.
Yep.
And so I'm not going to argue with fools more. I just say, no, that's just stupid. This is not to make it elitist or make it above. I've taken the time out of my day. The only difference between the informed and the ignorant is one group of people took the time out of their day to be informed. The ignorant can join their rankings by just taking the time out of their day to be informed.
That was in the Bible and also the book of Blueprint that Jay-Z also mentioned. But yeah, it just is what it is, man. I'm gonna call this episode, this is who you are. And this is who the Bears are. This is the team that you fell in love with. This is the team they're gonna be until they decide one day we don't want to be this no more.
The Bible says in Proverbs 29:6, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Proverbs written by more than likely Solomon. And it said, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you become a fool. And so the majority of Bears fans are just meatheads, just like any other fan of any other team is a meathead. And the majority of them, I do not care what you have to say. And it's not to disrespect you, but you're not informed about the game, so you'll say something stupid. But for the fans,
and also Jay-Z said, wise man told me, don't argue with fools, because people from a distance can see who is who.
Can't see who's who.
Yes, that's what it was. So you got both your quotes.
But you know, when it comes to the Bears, I'm not shocked. And they, like I said, I don't know. It's going to be something besides the Bears' record that will make the McCaskies want to make change. Right. I do not know what that thing will be, but it
hopefully
will be
it's embarrassment. Hopefully, it'll be national media laughing these niggas every day. Like it was to the point where
they go to the owner summit and you hear Jerry say, "Oh man, how's that team doing?" No winning record.
Did you listen to Tony Romo and Jim Nantz last yesterday? They went down 30. Oh, this might be a big chance. They're laughing at us.
Yeah.
Like if that's
they're laughing at them.
Yeah.
You said us. It's them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Excuse me. They're laughing at them.
But yeah. So I don't have much to say about this game itself.
I think that's all we've got to say. The Bulls are up 20 again, and I want to watch this.
Crazy. I want Zach to get a triple. I want Zach to get 30.
It's not gonna get 6 points, and we're up 15. That tells you how good this team is right now.
And how many points does he have now, sir?
I don't know how many he has. Last time I checked, it was 6.
He has 11. He's not getting 30, 11. But
okay.
That parlay is cooked. But it is what it is.
Pretty much.
I ain't going to watch the Bulls and also a Monday night football. So anyway, to our patrons.
Manning cast is back today.
Oh, shoot. I'll spend my time doing that. To our patrons. Is it five? Who gets access to this? $10 or $5?
$10. $5, you only get summer sessions.
Probably should have access to this. Probably not. Probably five.
No.
Fans, I will do my best to haggle Scott. Not guarantee anything will change.
It's not going to happen.
But I do want to thank folks for listening. The patrons, of course, are visually seeing us and having the chance to hear and listen to us. And also those who just, you know, hearing on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to podcasts, we appreciate you all. We will be back on Friday or Saturday with a preview pod for the 49ers. Me and Scott will be there at Soldier Field ourselves covering. You will have pregame video, postgame video.
We'll be on the road, too.
We will not miss any game outside of maybe Seattle. I'm not 100% sure yet. Yeah. We'll be at every game.
No, we're definitely missing Seattle. That's the day after Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to be there. Yeah. So we'll hit every single game, road and home, except for Seattle for the rest of the season. So you will get coverage. You'll get post-game videos. Those who subscribe to Patreon will get the longer videos, the more in-depth analysis. We can talk shit, say what we want. Thank you all for listening. We will catch you all then. And as always, Flo's Andalini on Twitter, Barbara Scott on Twitter, 79th and Hallis on Twitter. We will catch you all next time.